wanting on your own. Hoping the streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that?
Do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Ghetto
people,
who you gonna turn to?
Who
next?
You gonna turn to? Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people.
Self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Show some love for yourself, people. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. When what you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness you can never get used to.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people,
what are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that?
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to? Listen, people, you better take a look at yourself, yeah. Talking to my people,
eyes, but you just don't see
what you're living
like
at.
Living
like you're living,
caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dreams,
yeah.
Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Talking to my people, yeah. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. When what you really want inside can only come from you. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah.
Ghetto people.
Motherland Media is on the air. You are listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We sashay. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We sashay. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in the medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them in their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So he poured his libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need to do, have to do, should do, better do, must do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, you had to do it anyway. And I know you did it. I know you got it done. Whatever it was, you got it done. You didn't procrastinate. You didn't put it off. You got it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you are. You're listening to African Perspectives, and we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to us live, you can always go to timeforanawakening.com. Scroll down on the right side till you see the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. Click on that, and there you will get the rebroadcast. The archives of previous recorded programs, which are dated and titled by my good brother and friend and engineer, Brother Kwaku. So we appreciate him for that. Also, on Mondays here on Time for an Awakening, we have Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern out of Philly. And right after that, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9 Eastern. Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 10. Wednesday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. Friday, Time for an Awakening. If it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. until. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Saturdays. Saturday Sports Talk with host Troy Wilmore. On Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it is not me. It is Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, with her program, Revive. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday, and Sunday evening, 7 p.m. until it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Give us a call here at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, and the Cafe ULU, right here in Atlanta. It's a cooperative, which I implore all of our people. You know, in fact, I'm looking at stuff they're talking about, economics, this and that. Damn it. Get this cooperative concept into your damn brains. Let's move on this cooperative. It is the only way for our people in this kind of system. Entrepreneurship and capitalism relies on. In fact, the problem with that situation only relies on us supporting one another. Let's do it cooperatively. Let's share. Let's invest in one another. Let's support one another. Let's trust one another. Let's believe in one another. Let's get this done. The Ulu Cafe is open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. I will always announce Cafe Ulu and us lifting us. Check out the website, because we are known for coffee. That's right. Coffee is what we're about. It's Cameroonian. It's Tanzanian. It's Kenyan. It's Ethiopian. It's Brazilian. It's Panamanian. Coffee. That's what we are all about. Desserts and pastries. All kinds of good stuff at Cafe Ulu. Check them out. Check out the website, cafeulu.com. cafeulu.com. Also, check out Us Lifting Us website. Find out more about Us Lifting Us. In that same spirit, We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Black American African owned businesses. Everything you need from American African owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out. I met the brother and at the Greenbrier Mall. He has a kiosk there selling products that we have created. So it's not just We Buy Black. We make it and we sell it. We're the only global marketplace for American African-owned businesses. We're a movement for economic empowerment. That's right. When in fact, all of this stuff should be about cooperative. That's just me. I'm serious about it. Abaka Sum Sum, my good sister and brother, and my good sister and friend, Dr. Marimba Ani. Abaka Sum Sum Sum, the 15th anniversary, and this year's spirit is building Columbos from war camp to African sovereignty. Building Columbos. It is going to be at Lithia Springs Park. No, excuse me. It's going to be at Lithia Springs, Georgia, at Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia, May 12th. More details. Building Columbos, and if you know what a Columbo is, it is a camp where brothers and sisters who are trying to be enslaved, who are captives, who escaped and created for themselves. It's a good movie, Columbo, talking about the Africans who were sent to Brazil by the Portuguese, and how they fought back for many, many years. Their leader, Zimbi of Pelamires. You need to check it out. Also, you need to check out Abaka Sum Sum Sum, Raising Up the Spiritual Warfare, in honor of Dr. John Henry Clark, Nana Clark, African World Sovereignty Movement. That's May 12th. Also, Black Dot Bookstore, Black Dot's Bookstore in Lithonia, Black Dot Bookstore, Cultural Center and Bookstore, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. And Brother Ajamu is the proprietor. There is light in the black dot. That's right. There is light in the black dot. Today, we're going to play the documentary. The The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks. The Science Agenda to Exterminate Us, to get rid of us. And I know a lot of our people don't understand this. I was in the Baltimore, D.C. area. I want to thank Brother Kwaku again for the replaying of one of the programs I did, which was the tribute to Dr. Bobby Wright. And I know also want to thank my brothers and sisters from the UK, Jamaica, and of course my co-host on Wednesdays, Brother Franklin Jones, for Wednesday's program when we dealt with the I don't know why I keep forgetting that. Basically what it is when after World War II, the UK asked, I don't even know if they even asked, they just brought some brothers and sisters over from Jamaica in the Caribbean to work and help rebuild the UK. You know, and now they want to send them back. World War II, 70-some years ago, just three generations. And now, if you can't, once again, prove your status in the UK, in London, they want to send you back. And, you know, I understand how some of them feel about that, and I truly do. You know, but I'm telling you, the UK is just making me really. I hate the British. I'm just going to keep it real, brothers and sisters. I hate the British. They were one of the main colonizers, the main imperialists on this planet. And still today, when I found out there's 50-something countries still under their influence to some degree, it just sickens me. And then when I look at all of the riches that they have amassed because of that, all the theft, all the murder, it's very hard for me to feel good about the little Caucasian baby that was born today, the wedding upcoming later in May. In fact, I think it's May 19th, which is El Hajj Malik El Shabazz's birthday, and that's really a problem for me, because to me, that's a special day. I don't give a damn about the British and this wedding. And because this is America, you always see it. It was on the national news at least this weekend. Every national news program, whether it's a Talking Heads national news program like, you know, Meet the Press and all this other stuff, all of it, got to mention something about the UK. And then, of course, the Queen had a celebration. The Heifer had a celebration. And that was highlighted, too, in the news. And all the hundreds of people, thousands of people, rather, who were there for that. And some of the people that performed. And then every time I see her, I think about that image. I saw her sitting down in the midst of all this gold and all of the jewels and gold carriage and all of these things. All of these things that made Britain, the United Kingdom, England, whatever you want to call it, and Europe, Europeans, Caucasians, rich. These countries in Europe wouldn't have what they have and be what they are today if it was not for the exploitation and theft and murder and sometimes even true genocide. When I say true genocide, because you're already talking about genocide. No, genocide is the actual removal and elimination and extermination of a people. And the only ones that have done it are them. In the Caribbean and in what is now called the Australia, New Zealand, the Tasmania people. They have done it. And so when Ethiopia, I'm not sure who they asked for their artifacts back from, might have been Europe, but they said, no, we'll loan them to you. There's no doubt in my mind, and if there's a doubt in your mind, you really need to think and think deeply. If there's a doubt in your mind that if we had something that they have and they want it, we couldn't say, oh, no, we'll loan it back to you. Oh, no, we're coming to get it. And there ain't no discussion about it. It's just like what is going on in Africa in terms of saying, we're going to take this land without any compensation. You're damn right, because they took it. They didn't ask for any barter. There was no trade. They just took it. It is our land, and they should take it back. Brothers and sisters, this program clearly is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, period. and you see what is going on in this world, there must be. There has to be. And the only place that we can make this claim is on the continent. We can't make a claim of sovereignty, of independence, of self-determination anywhere else. We can't do it here. I know, Republic of New Africa, Nation of Islam. No, we cannot. We cannot do it in the midst of an open, sworn enemy who are armed to the damn teeth. There is, brothers and sisters, no chance at this moment of armed struggle. We don't have the weaponry, but even more important than that, we don't have the functional unity. If we had the functional unity, it would be about protecting ourselves, but more importantly, about reclaiming our lives, reclaiming our land. More importantly, again, reclaiming our minds. In fact, that's the first step. Reclaiming our minds. Because once that happens, everything else will begin to fall into place. Reclaiming our minds. Reclaiming the land. As Dr. John Henry Clark said, Africa has always had everything everybody thinks they want, can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. And we have been being ripped off for hundreds of years, but yet still we have more resources than any other continent, any other area of the planet. The reason? Because it was first. Africa, even when there was the continental shifts or continental divides, was the center. It was the center. As you can see, when you look at a map, you could see where South America could fit in, right where Ghana and Nigeria is, right in that area. You can see other areas, how they could just fold in like a jigsaw puzzle, because Africa was the center. Life began in Central East Africa, migrates from that point. And because life began there, civilization began there. It began to develop and grow to the height. And the height was Kemet, what the Greeks called Egypt. That was the height. That was the learning center and knowledge for the planet. Every other civilization that came after that, that was the root. African was the root. In fact, as my good friend, Brother Baba Renoko Rashidi, as he goes around the world chronicling and documenting the African presence everywhere, the first people damn near everywhere were African people, were dark-skinned people. Everywhere. You name the place. I got to get that brother back on the show real soon. But the reality is, Dr. Clark says, we have no friends. We have no friends on this damn planet. It is clearly evident everywhere we go. We are disrespected. We are humiliated. We are dogged out. We are killed. This planet, the inhabitants, the ones who are in control, the Europeans, the Caucasians, who are in control, their whole desire is to eliminate African people on this planet and to control all resources. These selfish, greedy son of a... Okay. Michael Adams is a scientist, researcher. His website is naturalnews.com. Naturalnews.com. Go to his website. Check it out. A lot of good stuff, a lot of information on there. First came to my attention a few years ago when the Flint water crisis happened, other issues of vaccines and so forth. So I saw him on Facebook a few times, listened to him and so forth. But this one really caught me. This was first developed in May, excuse me, in November of last year. This is the scientific agenda to exterminate blacks, to exterminate American Africans and Africans, period, from off this planet. It's just not here in America where you can see it ongoing. And probably one of the main reasons why it is here, because really, we are the most technologically advanced Africans on this planet. We are, if we could harness it, if we could develop it, if we could shield it from all interference and all the integrate BS, all of that, it would be a dynamic force on this planet for Africa and for Africans globally. But yet, we are targeted for elimination. We are targeted for destruction. We are targeted for extermination. This will be about an hour. And then I hope that you will still be with me and that you will call 215-490-9832 and give us your African perspective on what you would just hear or what you're going to hear. This is the Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks.
A think tank in the UK says too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
In many black communities, for every child actually born, three others are aborted, more than double the rate among whites.
Some say abortion is the number one killer in the black community.
African Americans here in this country are the only ethnic group in any place on the globe that's not replacing themselves. This is genocide.
Hillary Clinton received the Margaret Sanger Award. This is a woman who started an organization called Planned Parenthood, and that woman called black people human weeds.
An organization whose founder believed in eugenics.
The goal, to rid the country of the feeble-minded, defectives.
States in the United States refusing to compensate victims who were forcibly sterilized because they were deemed unfit to reproduce.
If they could keep certain segments of the population from reproducing, that all the world's problems would disappear. And so
we have spent the past few weeks calling and emailing politicians in California, and the silence has been astonishing.
Welcome to this talk. It's called The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks. This is a fact-based presentation, but it is not politically correct in the status quo halls of science and medicine because they don't want this talked about. And they especially don't want it talked about by a white scientist. And I'll give you a little bit of information about my background soon so you understand where I'm coming from and why I'm taking the steps to go public with this information. The truth is there is a concerted, organized, long-standing effort to eliminate African Americans from the human gene pool. Not just African Americans, by the way, but Africans. This is happening right now. You are being subjected to it. It's happening through multiple vectors of science, medicine, and food that I will detail here in this talk. And it's all being done covertly. So almost no one is aware of this. The entire mainstream media refuses to acknowledge this. The scientific community will say that none of this is true. And yet, if you look at the facts that I'm going to share with you and the history that's undeniable, you will see there is a concerted, organized effort to eliminate blacks, i.e. African Americans. I'm going to use those terms interchangeably just for brevity here. But there is an effort to eliminate those people from the human gene pool. My background, just so you know, my name is Mike Adams. I'm known as the Health Ranger. I am a lab science director. I founded and built a world-class analytical laboratory from scratch. It is ISO accredited. It's recognized around the world for analytical science of heavy metals and food contamination, environmental contamination, and so on. We've done volunteer work, testing over 600 samples of the U.S. water supply. And we've also volunteered our lab efforts to Native American tribes who have been impacted by the EPA's poisoning of their rivers. So, by the way, it's not just blacks that are trying to be eliminated by the status quo. It's also Native Americans and other minority groups that are routinely targeted by not just the EPA, but other groups that we'll talk about here. I do want you to know that because I am an outspoken science whistleblower, that I am maliciously attacked, defamed, lied about. I am targeted for intimidation tactics. They try to silence my words. They try to make sure that you can't hear this talk. I've been death threatened. I've been stalked. I have to live a lifestyle of extreme secrecy. And I'm armed 24/7, including right now. And this is what it takes in our world today to tell the truth about science and medicine, especially when you are uncovering a mass agenda of genocide and eugenics, which is very prevalent through our systems of science and medicine today. So I do want all of you to know, all of you who are watching, if you're sharing this with your friends and colleagues, I do want you to know that I'm putting myself at risk to say these things, especially as a credible scientist of an accredited laboratory facility, which has everything to do with the heavy metals poisoning that we're going to talk about. They absolutely don't want this information getting out. So let's start with something that we can all easily agree upon because it has been in the news everywhere, and that is the heavy metals poisoning of the predominantly black communities of Flint, Michigan. So no one says that's a conspiracy theory, right? The water supply for millions of citizens in that region, who again were predominantly black, was allowed to be deliberately poisoned with lead, a toxic heavy metal that causes bone disorders, but more importantly, it causes a kind of brain lobotomy. It causes loss of cognitive function. It reduces IQs. It causes heart problems and many other problems. This was deliberately allowed to poison the water supply of Flint, Michigan, knowing that that water supply served minority communities. And in fact, this was so deliberate and it was so criminal that the Attorney General of Michigan has so far filed at least 43 criminal charges against predominantly scientists and bureaucrats who ran teams of scientists, water quality experts, and so on, many of whom have been charged with felony crimes. Now, water quality officials in Flint, Michigan were tasked with testing the water and making sure that it was, you know, clean or safe to drink. And yet, every time they showed lead in the water, they covered it up. They ditched that sample, they deleted it from the spreadsheet, you know, they replaced it with another sample from some other source. They committed massive scientific fraud, and they did this deliberately to cover up the fact that the African-American population of Flint, Michigan, or Detroit, Greater Detroit, was being systematically poisoned. And this was going on year after year. And it could be going on now in other cities across the country. What we have found in our testing is that about 6.9% of the municipal water in America is poisoned with heavy metals. We've published those numbers at naturalsciencejournal.org in a science paper that shows you the actual data. It turns out that those areas that are most affected by these toxic heavy metals tend to be those with a predominantly larger population of African Americans. So it's the minority communities that are being impacted more so than, let's say, you know, rich white communities. Getting back to the Flint, Michigan situation, we know that they knew about this and they failed to tell people. They covered it up and they allowed it to continue. They deliberately allowed millions of children and adults, senior citizens, who were predominantly black, to be poisoned with this toxic heavy metal. Would that have happened in a rich California white community? I doubt it. I doubt it. In 2007, Chicago convened a breast cancer task force to try to figure out why so many black men and women were dying of cancer. For black women, it's mostly breast cancer. For black men, it's mostly prostate cancer. And across the cancer industry, every doctor will tell you that cancers are known to be far more severe in African American patients than, let's say, Caucasian patients. But they don't understand why. And I'll tell you why. It's a very simple reason. It has everything to do with melanin in the skin. If you have darker skin pigmentation, because your ancestors came from a region closer to the equator, where sun exposure is more intense. And so the melanin in the skin is designed to block UV radiation. It's a built-in sunscreen. It's actually a feature. You know, black skin is a feature. It's a survival mechanism of those whose ancestors lived near the equator. But it blocks vitamin D production at the same time. You see? Because the ancestors, all of our ancestors, were outdoors people. They spent their time outdoors. They didn't live in offices. They didn't work indoors all day long. So they had too much sun. And so the dark skin pigmentation blocked the excessive sun, and it protected them from UV radiation. Well, today, we all live indoors, don't we, for the most part? Indoor lifestyles, office jobs, even people who work in hospitals are working indoors. And when black people work indoors or live indoors, they become sunlight deficient, especially because of the melanin in their skin. So now that same feature of their skin that blocked excessive sun radiation in, let's say, Africa, now in New Jersey or New York, it's a detriment because it's causing African-American populations to become deficient in vitamin D. And this is what's happening in Chicago and Detroit, and especially the more northern latitudes of northern United States, Canada, and so on. Black men in the UK have very high rates of prostate cancer, and when they get diagnosed with prostate cancer, the prognosis is less positive than, let's say, a white person with prostate cancer. The cancers are more aggressive. They're more deadly. The answer is lack of vitamin D. And yet in 2007, the Chicago Breast Cancer Task Force convened, I think, over 100 doctors and nurses to try to have a powwow, a team effort to try to figure out why is cancer worse in black people in Chicago. And wouldn't you know it, after spending days or even weeks on this project, they couldn't come up with the truth. The truth that people with dark skin are sunlight deficient, they're vitamin D deficient, and that's why the cancer is more aggressive, because vitamin D halts cancer. And vitamin D can be purchased for a nickel a day. Every black person in Chicago, in Detroit, in New York, in the UK could prevent cancer. About 4 out of 5 cancers, by the way, with nothing but vitamin D. And yet the cancer industry won't tell them that. So here's a case where you have a disease that is disproportionately more aggressive in blacks versus whites. And white people, they absorb sunlight more efficiently when they're outdoors, so they need less time in the sun to generate the same amount of vitamin D as a black person who needs more time in the sun. And yet nobody is telling African Americans this simple truth. Nobody. This information is being denied the black community in America. And it's just, again, a very small part of the overall vector that I'm going to be continuing to reveal here that is an effort to exterminate blacks. Now let's talk about the abortion industry. I'm not going to download politics on you about whether you think abortion should be legal or illegal, or illegal in the third trimester and legal in the other two, or whatever. That's your deal. That's another day, another topic. My point is that abortion ends a life, and it ends certainly a potential life. And I say abortion ends a living human baby. Now, abortion centers are deliberately set up where? Predominantly black communities. Abortion messaging and abortion marketing is more aggressive toward black communities than it is white communities or non-black communities. The Planned Parenthood / abortion industry needs a steady supply of black women getting pregnant and wanting to terminate those pregnancies in order for them to be able to harvest tissue and organs from partial birth abortions, which are almost all black babies. Now, a partial birth abortion, in case you're not familiar with this, is when there's a baby that could be born and could be brought into this world, is capable of breathing and living. It's conscious. It has memories. It has sensory complexity. It has consciousness. It has feelings. And it's partially born. Let's say just the head is born. And then at that moment, the abortion center murders that baby And then they harvest the organs. They will harvest the brainstem. They will harvest the lungs. They will harvest the kidneys. They will harvest the heart. And they, you know what they do with those tissues? Well, we're told they use them for medical research. It turns out most of those tissues are sold to vaccine manufacturers. And they use those tissues to grow biomass for vaccines that are then injected into other children. And this is openly admitted by the vaccine industry and the CDC. And on my website, Natural News, we've covered, we have shown screenshots of the ingredients lists of these vaccines, such as chickenpox vaccines. Varicella uses human fetal tissue. And that human fetal tissue comes predominantly from black babies. So it's not just that the abortion centers are set up in predominantly black communities to reduce the population numbers of black children and future black adults, but it's also that those black children are having their organs harvested in order to make vaccines that are injected into other babies. There is a kind of racial medical cannibalism that is taking place in America today, and it combines the evil of the Planned Parenthood abortion industry and the vaccine industry, combines all that with an overlay of eugenics and genocide. And by the way, if you don't think that abortion is tied to a history of eugenics and genocide, you need to read the history of Margaret Sanger, one of the key founders of Planned Parenthood, who called black people human weeds, and she said that it's better to kill black babies in the womb so that they don't become adults. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. I don't know the exact quote, but it's something along those lines. She saw abortion as a key vector of exterminating the black population in our world, and that goal is being carried out today. And by the way, she was so effective with this narrative and with this obscene, twisted logic of genocide that the Nazis borrowed her narrative and her mindset and said, oh, that sounds like a good idea, let's apply it to the Jews. So Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich, their Holocaust against the Jews was modeled after the Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger eugenics genocide model that continues today in America. There is a Holocaust in America today, and it's a Holocaust that specifically targets black Americans. And yet, there is virtually no outcry. Now, in case you're having difficulty believing any of this, let's go to the news. Let's go to what's being widely reported about medical experiments targeting African babies. All right? And you can find the article and the sources for this on naturalnews.com. Officials of Pfizer, a major drug company and vaccine manufacturer, are under arrest in Nigeria. And I'm going to read you a little bit here. And I apologize for the pronunciation here, but Judge Shehu Atiku in the city of Kano said that the Nigerian Pfizer head, Ngozi Edozien, and senior company officials from Pfizer, Lare Bale and Segun Donguro, failed to appear in court in compliance with a court order that's seeking a $2.6 billion fine from Pfizer, charging that the company illegally tested an experimental antibiotic known as Trovan on children in Kano during a meningitis outbreak in 1996. So you see, they use disease to test new drugs. And by the way, you'll find out that it's the industry is spreading the disease in order to push the vaccines. And they always use Africans for their experiments. It's across the board. Well, I'll give you more examples. This illegal experiment on African children led to the deaths of 11 children, and dozens of other children experienced severe harm. Now, that shouldn't surprise anyone because it rings true with the history of the Tuskegee syphilis experiments. Those experiments conducted in the United States with the approval of U.S. health authorities and government authorities was begun in 1932, and there were over 600 volunteers who were exploited by the medical system. These are black men, predominantly. They were exploited by the system. They were told they were going to receive phenomenal care, that they were going to get extra money, that they were going to be treated well. Instead, they were denied treatment so that the medical establishment, again, these are scientists, so that they could observe the progression of this disease as black men suffered and died. And this wasn't in Africa, this was on U.S. soil. This was in the 1930s. And this is one where they got caught, because there have been dozens of other examples of this kind of medical experimentation in the United States, which usually targets black people, black prisoners in particular. And we could talk about the prison industry and how it's a business. That's another topic. But once they get people into that prison system, they then use them for medical experiments, and they have done so routinely throughout American history. And if you think that the American government has gone out of its way to protect blacks in America, you need to go back and reread your history. The FBI wrote a letter encouraging Martin Luther King Jr. to commit suicide. The FBI ran violent raids on black civil rights groups throughout the 1960s and 70s. And to this day, the FBI runs domestic terrorism operations that they call sting operations, where the FBI sets up the plan, the FBI gets the fake bombs, the FBI acquires the vehicle. Whatever the agenda calls for, they'll go after you. And in science and medicine, they're going after you right now. So let's continue. Let me give you more evidence, because I want you to judge this on the evidence. Now, and just a quick side note, you notice how the recent Ebola outbreak, well, a couple years ago, happened in Africa. Now, I don't have proof of this, but there are many in the industry of the immunization industry, vaccine industry, holistic medicine industries, who believe that those strains of Ebola were weaponized and were allowed to escape in certain African nations in order to assess the epidemiological impact and to test new drugs, and also as a false flag to push more funding for Ebola vaccines in the United States. And that nurse that was brought to Texas was allowed to come in and was allowed to spread Ebola to another person in Texas, which is what happened, so that they could call for more vaccines. They create a panic, they create the outbreak, and then they push billions of dollars of funding for more vaccines. In Africa, there are groups that provide vaccines to young African women. And these vaccines are often disguised as tetanus shots. And this is done usually in conjunction with UNICEF, you know, the global group, UNICEF, and also Kiwanis International, which is supposed to be, you know, a community group across the United States and elsewhere. They have a project that they've used to give tetanus vaccines to black women in Africa. The name of this project, and I kid you not, I'm not making this up, the name of the project is the Eliminate Project. The Eliminate Project. What are they eliminating? Turns out that various Catholic mission groups that are pro-vaccine and that have been administering these vaccines to young women across Africa sent some of these vaccines to laboratories for analysis of their composition. And there, they were shocked to find that a very high percentage of these vaccines are being laced with covert sterilization chemicals. This is a fact. This is openly admitted. This, in fact, they blew the whistle on this. They went public with it. The U.S. media didn't report this. But outside the U.S., this is widely reported. In fact, we've covered it on Natural News. The Catholic bishops in Kenya, they actually urged the Kenyan Ministry of Health to block vaccines from UNICEF and the World Health Organization, because the World Health Organization approves of these covert sterilization vaccines. Isn't that interesting? Now, where are these vaccines given? Are they given in Boulder, Colorado, which is predominantly white? No. No such covert sterilization chemicals in Boulder, Colorado. Are these vaccines found in Salt Lake City, Utah? Are they trying to eliminate Mormons? No. No such covert sterilization chemicals in Salt Lake City, Utah. Where are they found? They're found in vaccines given to young women in Mexico, Nicaragua, the Philippines, and Africa. So the covert sterilization chemicals just happen to show up in countries with either black people or brown people. And these vaccines are all approved by the World Health Organization and other such groups that operate at the global level. Isn't that interesting? Do you think that's coincidence? Because I challenge you. If you think that's coincidence, you're not connecting the dots. A few years ago in the United States, a top scientist for the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, the vaccine pushing group in the government, top scientist named Dr. William Thompson, went public through a legal firm, posted an admission of guilt, said that he and his colleagues, while working at the CDC, had taken part in a massive scientific fraud, a cover-up, where they found a 340% higher risk of autism in young African-American boys under the age of 3 who were given these vaccines versus non-black children. A 340% increased risk of autism. Now, those of you who are watching this, if you're part of the black community, you know autism is an epidemic across black communities in America today, right? You know that. How many young, and they're mostly boys, aren't they? Mostly boys. How many young black boys have had their brains permanently damaged by the vaccine industry with the knowledge of the CDC? The knowledge that they are harming disproportionately black children, but not so many white children. Now, there are white children who are autistic, but the numbers for black children are disproportionately much higher, 340% higher. Now, the CDC knew about this. They had this information. They knew the results, and they chose to cover it up. And one of their scientists went public with it, blew the whistle. Now, the entire mainstream media in America, NPR, Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, everybody, they all covered it up. They all blacklisted the news. They decided not to report this altogether, which shows you, by the way, that they have no journalism. They are fake news. They don't do real investigations. They chose not to cover this. Actually, I happen to know they were ordered not to cover this. The CDC issues orders to the media, by the way. They order the media when to spread panic about outbreaks. They order the media when to not say something about dangers of vaccines. The CDC is a criminal operation. And just as a quick side note, a Democrat, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has now called for the extradition of a CDC vaccine science fraud artist who fled the country with millions of dollars in taxpayer money and has been hiding out in Europe. And his name is Paul Thorsen. And he worked with the CDC to fabricate fake vaccine safety studies. And he's a fugitive from justice. The CDC is a criminal organization. So they covered this up, knowing that it damaged black babies 340% more than white babies. Are you still telling me this is all coincidence? Really? What causes the damage in black children? Turns out that there are genetic differences between babies who come from predominantly African ancestry versus those of more European ancestry, and that those genetic differences offer various expressions of predisposition to clearing mercury from your body. And so many of these black babies, they can't clear mercury out as quickly as the white babies. And when they're all injected with mercury, which is what happens because thimerosal is a mercury preservative still used in vaccines given to pregnant women in America and given to children in America, the white babies can clear out the mercury very quickly and they suffer little or no damage most of the time. The black babies, the mercury continues to circulate in their bodies and brains for days or weeks, sometimes months. And they can be permanently harmed and brain damaged, and they can be made autistic, and it is happening every day in America. And the vaccine industry went to Congress several years ago and got absolute legal immunity granted to their entire industry for any vaccine listed on the childhood immunization schedule. So if you're a black mother, a black father, your child, perfectly healthy, normal, has a great future, and that child, let's say they're 2 years old, you take them in to get vaccinated because the doctor told you to vaccinate your children, right? You get that child vaccinated, sometimes 48 hours later, boom, that child's brain damaged for life, autistic for life. and you can't sue the manufacturer for their faulty product because Congress conspired with the vaccine companies to grant them all legal immunity. You can't even take your case to court. The U.S. Supreme Court already ruled on that. You can't take your case to a regular court. You have to go to a secret vaccine court run by the vaccine industry that denies almost all claims. And even then, by the way, even though they deny almost all claims, the vaccine court has paid out over $3 billion to victims of vaccine damage that were proven to have been damaged by vaccines. If the truth about this came out, and if families of autistic children, especially in the black community, were able to really take their cases to court and seek justice through the legal system, it would bankrupt the entire pharmaceutical industry, which is what should happen, by the way. The vaccine industry specifically allows damage to happen to black babies. And that's if they survive abortion. You know how hard it is to be conceived as a black child and make it through gestation and be born alive and not be murdered, and then to make it through the vaccines, and then to make it through the psychiatric medicine and everything else? It's incredibly difficult just to survive. And that is on purpose, because the science and medical establishments are working deliberately to exterminate black people from this planet, to wipe you out from human civilization. They're doing it. It's happening right now. Now, continuing with the vaccine agenda to exterminate blacks from the world, you need to know something about polio and polio vaccines. There are two ways you can get polio. One is to catch it from a wild circulating polio virus. Second way is to get it from a polio vaccine. It's a well-known phenomenon. It's called vaccine-induced polio. Now, when they inject children with polio, or they do nasal vaccines or other forms of vaccines, not all the vaccines are fully attenuated, which means weakened. They're not all fully weakened. Some of them have live viruses. So sometimes when they're giving vaccines to children in large numbers, some small percentage of those children are going to be infected with the disease, with polio. It's called vaccine-induced polio. Now, recently, 355 children were vaccinated in Syria, Middle Eastern country, right? 355,000 children vaccinated against polio. Why were they vaccinated? Because there was a polio outbreak. What caused the polio outbreak? Polio vaccine. This was a vaccine-induced polio outbreak that was then treated with more vaccines. Now, 355,000 children were then injected. If 1 out of 1,000 children it catches polio from a polio vaccine, then didn't they just create 355 more children with polio? Yes, they did. And that will be reported as an outbreak, and someone will call for the World Health Organization or UNICEF to come in and vaccinate, you know, a million children, whatever it takes. You see, the vaccines are the continuation of the disease that they claim to stop. Now, if you understand epidemiology, statistics, science, and medicine, it is true that in a population, let's say you have a million children, and let's say polio is endemic, let's say half the children in the country have polio. In that case, because the infection rate is so high, a polio vaccine can drastically bring down that infection rate and save far more lives than it would terminate because the rate of infection is so high. But that same vaccine, when the rate of infection is very low, if you give that vaccine to large numbers of children, hundreds of thousands or millions, you will create more disease than you halt. The same vaccine. It all has to do with how many children are currently infected versus how many you're actually vaccinating. If you vaccinate a lot of children who are not infected, you're going to cause infections, you're going to cause outbreaks. And this is what is used in Africa. This is what is used across the world to keep the disease process going, so they can keep manufacturing vaccines, which are, remember, made from aborted black babies. We're talking human fetal cell tissue. They take it from the babies. They take it from the abortions. Planned Parenthood sells it to these companies. And they put it in large vats and they inoculate it with viral strains, and they grow and fester a large amount of biomass of disease material. And then they homogenize that with tissue homogenizers. They filter that. They put it into vaccine vials with other ingredients that are toxic, like aluminum or squalene or mercury. And then they inject that into other kids. We are living in a world, people, wake up and understand this. We are living in a world where they are murdering and grinding up black babies to feed them to other babies. This is like the Matrix. This is medical cannibalism. It's actually happening every day. Many of these vaccines are made from human fetal tissue that's harvested from aborted black babies. And you know what? A lot of the doctors don't even know it. A lot of the pharmacists don't even know it because they've never read the ingredients of a vaccine. They don't even know. All you got to do is go to the CDC, read the ingredients, FDA website. It's all right there. It's all out in the open. But no one wants to believe it because it's too horrifying. It's too evil. A recent study funded by the CDC, literally run by the CDC, using CDC money and CDC scientists, found that vaccines cause spontaneous abortions. So they're pushing vaccines onto pregnant women, right? You've heard that recently? All pregnant women are encouraged to go out and get multiple vaccines, which never was taught in medicine until the last 20 years. Before that, doctors were told, no, you never vaccinate a pregnant woman. That could harm the child, you know, the unborn baby. Now they're like, oh, you're pregnant? Get shot up with vaccines. Take antidepressant drugs. Take chemotherapy. Just poison the crap out of your body. Don't worry. It doesn't affect the baby. But it does. Because these medical liars are genocidal, homicidal maniacs. They're deceiving you. They're lying to you. They know that vaccines cause spontaneous abortions. It's just been admitted by the CDC. Now, we've covered this study on naturalnews.com. I want you to go there and I want you to read it, and we link directly to the journal. And I think the journal is Vaccines, by the way, where this study was published. You can read it yourself. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's openly admitted by the CDC. Vaccines cause spontaneous abortions. One more population control mechanism. Oh, by the way, speaking of population control, let me give you a couple of websites before I get to the last and most shocking point in all of this. We've got three websites that you can check out where you can learn more about this every day. Okay, depopulation.news, genocide.news, and eugenics.news. These are all .news domains. But again, depopulation, genocide, and eugenics, all .news. Go there. There's going to be some overlap of articles there, but your eyes will be opened. You will come to see the truth about what's actually happening. And if you are black or African American and you're listening to this, you need to know the truth about how you are being targeted for extermination. You and your children and your grandchildren and your parents, you are all being targeted for extermination. Now, to some extent, we are all being targeted in different ways because there is a depopulation agenda that wants to reduce the entire global population to about 1 billion people. But it seems from observing the way they're doing this, they sure do want to get rid of black people first. And they're actively doing it. It's happening right now. It's right under your nose. Most people have no clue that it's going on. And you've got Black Lives Matter out there marching for social justice, completely oblivious to everything I've just said. Where is Black Lives Matter talking about the abortion industry or the vaccine industry or the psychiatric medication of young black kids or the autism epidemic or the use of black children for medical experiments? Black Lives Matter doesn't touch any of those things. They might bash some heads at some speech that they don't like. Maybe take down a couple of Nazis or some white supremacists. You know, bash some white hoods out there. They might have a little bit of success at that, but guess what? You're still being exterminated because it's in the food, it's in the medicine. The scientific community is working to exterminate you. Hey, your enemy is not even the Nazis and the white supremacists. It's the scientists. It's the pharmacology evildoers. It's the drug companies. It's the vaccine companies. It's the abortion providers. That's who's killing you. All right, in 1969, New York Times ran an article authored by Gladwin Hill. That's his name, Gladwin Hill. He's the author. You can look this up. The article is entitled, "A Sterility Drug in Food is Hinted." The article cited a scientist named Paul Ehrlich, who's a depopulation advocate, as well as the chief science advisor for then-President Richard Nixon. And his name, the science advisor, is, Dr. Lee DuBridge. And he said, quote, listen to this quote very carefully. He said, quote, "Population control should be the prime task of every government." Here's how they were going to accomplish this. This is all in the New York Times in 1969. I've reprinted the article in naturalnews.com. If you want to see this, you can read it for yourself. You can convince yourself. I'm not making this up. This is all on the record, okay? He said, quote, "The addition of a temporary sterilant to staple foods or to the water supply would be the way to achieve mandatory infertility." Did you catch that? In 1969, they called for secretly inserting sterilization chemicals into the food supply and the water supply to depopulate the planet. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's in the New York Times, 1969. Same year we landed a man on the moon, right? Advanced technology. What do they want to do with it? They want to exterminate blacks with it. Now, notice they called for adding this covert sterilization chemical to the food supply and the water supply. Well, what has happened since then? Lead poisoning in Flint, Michigan. It's a damaging chemical in the water supply, isn't it? It's right out of the playbook from 1969. This is part of the plan. And that's just one time they got caught. What about the tetanus vaccines in Africa that were found to be contaminated with a sterilization chemical? Same thing. They were going to hide it in the food and the water. Now they're putting it in the vaccines. It's all consistent. Oh, and by the way, that chemical that they found in the vaccines, it's called beta-BCG. Beta-BCG. Let me describe this to you, all right? Beta-BCG causes the female body to have an immune system response that builds antibodies that destroy her own fetus if she gets pregnant. Do you realize that through this chemical that they secretly insert into the vaccines, they can cause a black woman's body to turn against itself and to murder its own baby in absolute violation of natural law and biblical principles and medical morality and everything else? And they were putting this sterilization chemical into these vaccines without the informed consent of the women who were being sterilized. This is evil medicine. This is evil science. This is genocide in the name of vaccines for public safety, right? That's what they tell you. Oh, this is all for public safety? While they're making an African woman's body murder her own baby before it can be born, and they don't tell her about it? That's medicine? That's public safety? That's a holocaust. It's a holocaust against blacks across our planet. Now you see why I have to speak this truth? You see why? Wasn't it Edmund Burke who said, all that's necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing, right? I'm not going to stand here and be silent. I'm not going to stand here and be intimidated. Those people out there, you know, they can slander and they can defame me all they want, all day and night. Call me anything. Fake news, lies, fake accusations. The truth is that you people are genocidal maniacs trying to kill black babies and turn black women against their own babies. You're trying to turn a woman's womb into a murder system through the use of covert sterilization chemicals. That is a scientific and medical fact. And that's why I'm standing here today, to speak this truth, to put it on the record, so that no one can hide from this fact, that this genocide is taking place right now, today. It's not 1932 Tuskegee experiment anymore. It's more advanced now. It's not just one vector killing black people. It's five or six different vectors. It's in the food, it's in the vaccines, it's in the medicine, it's in the psychiatric drugs. Oh, and let's get to the food, because this is the final chapter of this that will absolutely shock you. Now, you're hopefully aware of genetic engineering of the food supply, right? They're called GMOs, or genetically modified organisms. This is an advanced science technique to alter the DNA of food crops in order to build in certain traits and physical properties or even chemical properties that the scientists want to put into the food. Now, I'm going to explain to you how your food is now being weaponized as an extermination vector to eliminate black lives. All right? Now, I'm a food scientist. I'm the author of Food Forensics. It achieved the number one best-selling science book on Amazon.com. I'm the co-author of science papers that have been published in mainstream science journals. I'm not just a casual layperson when it comes to food science. I run a mass spec laboratory that's ISO accredited, validated, audited, inspected, passed many, many tests. Our data can be used in a court of law anywhere around the world. We do food analysis. We can search for complex molecules such as pesticides or elements such as mercury or cadmium. So I run the lab. I am the lab science director. I know a thing or two about food science. Now, what they have invented, when I say they, I'm talking about the genetic engineers, not only have they found a way to put these genetically engineered traits into food crops, they've now found a way to cause food crops to grow RNA fragments that can be specifically targeted like bioweapons to interfere with the physiological processes of targeted species that might eat the food. Now, this technology is called RNA interference technology. It's relatively new compared to GMOs, relatively new. It's being touted now as a technology to eliminate the use of pesticides, because what they're saying is they can cause a corn crop to grow RNA fragments that will kill the insects that eat the corn without having to use pesticides like toxic chemicals that overload the insect nervous system and kill it from a nervous system breakdown and so on. This RNA interference technology is a pesticide technology, but it doesn't rely on pesticide chemicals. It relies on RNA fragments in the food. Now, what's disturbing about this is that this technology can be fine-tuned to target a specific race of humans who eat the food. I want you to follow me very carefully on this, because most people have never heard of this before. They've never heard of this technology. They don't know it can be targeted by race. Food crops can be engineered right now based on existing technology to cause infertility in black people alone. That technology is a reality. It's widely covered out there in the mainstream media, in the science media. RNA interference technology is widely covered. And they openly talk about how it can be used to target specific physiological processes of certain insect species. They can interfere with DNA repair or protein synthesis in insects. They can interfere with fertility or reproduction. They can interfere with mobility, a nervous system interaction with the musculoskeletal system, or depending on what animal we're talking about, other systems, endoskeleton systems. I ask you, does that technology exist? The answer is yes. It absolutely exists right now. Are they using that technology? I ask you, do a little bit of research, look at the plummeting sperm production in black men. Sperm production is plummeting in black men. Sperm production is precisely the kind of physiological process that can be targeted by RNA interference technology. Now, is that proof that the food crops are being engineered to cause sperm production to plummet in black men? No, it's not proof. But when you connect the dots of all the other things that are being done covertly, this becomes something very likely in the realm of possibility. It would take a lot of advanced testing to find this out. And guess who controls the funding? Guess who controls nearly all the science funding in America today? The federal government. The same government that allows the CDC to cover up the truth about vaccines and black children. The same government that funds Planned Parenthood abortions of black babies. The same government that covers up the EPA-induced contamination of waterways affecting Native Americans and other populations, including the Flint, Michigan, predominantly black population. This government, same government that runs the FBI, that wanted Martin Luther King Jr. to commit suicide. It's the same government. The government is at war with you. If you're black and you're watching this, the government is at war with you, and they want you to exterminate it, and they control the science funding, which means there will never be money for any genetic science of the food supply to uncover this truth. If it were there, it would be covered up like everything else has been covered up this entire time. Just like the Tuskegee experiments covered things up in the 1930s. Nothing has changed, except the technology is more advanced. The covert technology is more covert. The number of vectors through which they can kill you and cause you to have no children, cause you to have spontaneous abortions, the number of vectors is increasing. You are being targeted. And like I said earlier, to some extent, we're all being targeted. But black people are being targeted more than anyone else. So what do we do with all this information? What do we do? Do you take to the streets and bash heads? No. It doesn't get you anywhere. The problem is the consolidation of power in the institutions of science and medicine. The problem is that science has been taken over by globalist agendas and depopulation agendas and government funding. The problem is that we don't have a decentralization of science. The problem is, if you will allow me to even invoke this terminology, the problem is that we are all slaves to science tyranny as it is being operated today. We're all slaves. We're living under a science dictatorship that refuses to tell us the truth and yet targets our brothers and sisters, our children, our grandchildren with extermination agendas through medicine, through food, like everything we've talked about. That's the problem. We need independent science. We need decentralization. We need more labs like my lab that I operate independently. We don't take any government money. That's why I can tell you this truth. You think if I were on the payroll of some big corporation that used government money, do you think I could stand here and tell you this truth? No way. Not a chance. It would yank your funding so fast, cover it up, sweep it under the rug. I can only stand here today because I have no financial ties to the system that's murdering all of you. Nor will I ever have financial ties to that system. I refuse to take money from satanic forces. I refuse to take money from murderous regimes. And that's what the United States government is today. It is a murderous regime, and it has been that way under President Obama, President Bush. It's beyond any single president. It has nothing to do with Trump. It's the bureaucracy, the momentum of genocide that is endemic in the culture of the CDC, in the culture of the FDA, in the culture of the EPA, that is beyond the reach of any one candidate or any one politician. And it has persisted for generations, and it continues to persist. And it will continue to target you and murder you and cause you disease and cause you brain damage and cause your children autism until the day comes that we, the people, decide to stand up and take back our liberty from this murderous regime that commits murder and genocide in the name of science and medicine. And that is what we must do. I don't think it's a goal that can be achieved through violence, and I don't call for violence because that is being inflicted against us in far too many ways. It must start with awareness. And so the only thing I ask of you watching this, listening to this, even if you don't believe every chapter of the talk here, maybe you find some of them hard to believe so far. The only thing I ask of you is share this information. Share this video. Share this talk. Have a public viewing in a church. Maybe you've got a black church somewhere. Invite your congregation to watch this if you dare. If you want to know the truth about this from a scientist, an independent scientist, who sees what's happening and refuses to be silent and refuses to be exploited by the evil that exists in our world, the murderous evil in the name of science, stealing life away from black families and black mothers and pursuing a goal of global extermination through medicine and science. We cannot stand for it. We must change our future together. And we're not going to do that, by the way, by fighting with each other over skin color or race. Do not let the system divide us, because the system is actually murdering us, but they're trying to keep us distracted. In the meantime, they want black and white to fight against each other in the streets, don't they? You better believe they do. They want you to not trust each other, because they are the murderers. They, the system, they're murdering us all to one extent or another, but they want us to be too busy bashing each other over the head with baseball bats to pay attention to the real murder that's taking place on the bigger scale, the global scale of murder and genocide. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. Do not fall into the depths of racial hate for anyone. Don't hate someone because of their skin color or their background, religion, sexual orientation, anything. Understand that it's we, the people, versus the system of murder and genocide, the scientific dictatorship that has in one way or another targeted us all. So we, the people, must stand together, unified, regardless of our race, unified with the knowledge and awareness that we have a right to live, and we have a right to have families, and we have the right to know the truth. And until that truth is acknowledged, we cannot be free. You can break physical chains from old slave plantation days, and you can have physical freedom, but now we have a new kind of enslavement. We are all chemical slaves to the covert sterilization. We are victims of these systems. We, all of us, black and white, all of us. So spread the word, share this video, have the courage to tell the truth, and I will continue to do so as well. Because I answer to a higher power. And I know that one day I'm going to be judged for my actions, for what I said or what I didn't say, if I covered something up, which I refuse to do. We are going to be judged, and I refuse to go through this life knowing this dark secret and not sounding the alarm to those who need to know it the most. That's all that matters to me. That's why I'm doing this. So I thank you for listening and watching. I thank you for your time. Share this message far and wide, and continue to watch naturalnews.com, where I will bring you more on this topic and similar topics in the years ahead. I will continue to fight for humanity with every breath. To my last day, I will fight for humanity, and that means black people and everybody else. We are not separate. We are not at war with each other. The establishment is at war with us, regardless of our color. So understand that truth, and thank you for your time. Take care.
You've been listening to Michael Adams of naturalnews.com, an independent science researcher who has brought information forth a number of times. I've seen him on Facebook and other platforms talking about vaccines, the situation in this country. I'm not just Flint. Flint was just exposed for the meanness and cruelty that it is, but it's also Milwaukee and other places where the water levels have extreme amounts of lead. I know that some of us don't want to believe. They don't want to believe that there are people outside of us who are trying to destroy us, trying to kill us. They don't want to believe that. People don't want to believe, particularly about the American government and American system, because of how it presents itself, how it purports to have to be the moral, damn, that is so laughable, that is ridiculous, country in the world, the leader, while its history has consistently, since they came here and took this, to be one of death, domination, and destruction, but America is held in such high regard. And the ones who helped build America, the ones who made the sacrifice for America, the ones who truly have made America wealthy. There is no more cotton to pick. Your time is up. It's over. And Caucasians don't want to compete with anybody. They have never and will never play fair. If you got any questions about what you heard or you want to add to it or just a comment, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And I think for those of us who are Pan-Africanists, cultural nationalists, and who have understood this for some time.
And this call is being recorded.
And for those like myself who have been talking about this for now literally a decade, what he said was no surprise. But what he said, and I understand and appreciate the honesty, is that it will go unheeded and we will continue to fall victim to a plan of extermination. We have a caller, 602. Go ahead, caller, 602. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Horseshoe. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Marcus, or good afternoon. Yes, morning by you. How are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing great, brother. You know, Brother Oshi, I remember in the 1990s, there was a brother by the name of Dr. Jack Felder. And he was, he used to work for the U.S. government as a scientist. And that's when the AIDS thing came out. And he talked about how they develop AIDS in a laboratory up there in Colorado somewhere, the military.
Yeah, so, actually, Brother Marcus,
you know,
Brother Marcus.
That is true. It's not a lie. It's true.
No, it is.
These people are exterminating black people. All across Africa, they use the WHO to spread it. Because wherever the World Health Organization go, the AIDS follow. So you're correct, it's there. And the Ebola thing, remember, all the black people died with the Ebola. So it's that far-fetched. It's true, you know. So,
and I think I think Brother Marcus.
Listening, good brother.
Brother Marcus, I appreciate your contribution. Appreciate you always listening. But the AIDS.
Thank you, brother.
The AIDS virus, this, when Phil Donahue was on, and even Montel Williams program, Montel Williams, they did a piece on AIDS with Dr. Strecker and Zara Miles. Look them up. Zara Miles was killed. They murdered him. Where they talked about how AIDS was developed as a biological weapon in Fort Detrick, Maryland. In Fort Detrick, Maryland. And how it was disseminated, how it was first under the disguise as a homosexual disease. You had Jerry Falwell and others saying that this disease was a condemnation from God against the homosexual lifestyles. Then we began to realize it was infecting African people at disproportionate rates. And so, you know, I read Dr. Bobby Wright's outstanding essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality, when he talked about all the things that Caucasians were doing and things they were doing. And at the time that he wrote that, which was the late 70s, AIDS was not known. Probably being developed or had been developed, but it was not known. It went out to the general public. But everything that he said was on point. And the fact that the AIDS virus, and it is still affecting our people to this day. American African women and African people are most affected by AIDS. That's when they came up with the idea that, yeah, it originated in Africa. You know, the movie Outbreak, instead of Ebola, the name they used in Outbreak was Motaba. The movie Outbreak came out in the 90s. The Ebola virus happened, what, a few years ago. We have a caller, 267. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Brother Oshie. Thank you for playing that, because a lot of people don't realize what some of these folks got in store for us. Now, is Michael Adams. Now, I want to ask, is Michael Adams, is that a brother or?
No, it's a Caucasian.
Is he Caucasian?
He's a Caucasian. Okay. Yeah, he's a Caucasian. I saw him a few years ago when when the Flint water crises began to happen. And what he said was most telling. Says, why do these situations happen in predominantly American African communities, you know, and as a warning. And this one here is just a dynamic piece. And I just felt that because this is what we talk about on this program, what we are up against, the challenges that we face as African people trying to just literally just exist and live on this planet with somebody who is trying to kill us, trying to destroy us. And yet our people act, our legislators act, our religious people, all of these folks act like ain't a damn thing happening. Obama.
Obama. I mean, the Flint crisis came underneath his regime when it was exposed.
Exactly. So, it was 2 years. He was president 2 years when it first happened. So he had 2 years. 2 years he could have said, he should have said to the Michigan governor, you should be imprisoned. And then he should have said, we're going to mobilize the Army Corps of Engineers to come into Flint, Michigan. We're going to get contractors, both private and public contractors, to come in there and to correct that situation. Bam, like that. But yet they let it fester.
I'm going to tell you the sad part, Brother Oshie. Some of our folks still got that Negro up on their there on their refrigerator.
Of course. He's in shrine. They got pictures. You know, they got all kinds. In fact, there's been all kinds of paintings since he is now a private citizen, of him and Michelle and all kind of loving embraces, all oil paintings and shit like that. All kind of stuff around there, you know, just praising him. And the fact that 45 is such an a-hole that they long for him. They wish he could come back, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Oshie. And this is, I heard Michael Adams clip. It's happening to white folks. It's happening to white folks, too. They're just too much in denial to realize it.
No, it's this.
I'm telling you, Brother Oshie, it's happening. You should see some of those little pathetic, poor towns that I go to work in Pennsylvania. Matter of fact, Barack said something about them when he was running.
Right.
He said, I know some of those. Yeah, he said something about those. There's a whole bunch of them out there. And they're too wrapped up in their own hatred, bigotry, and everything to realize. You know,
right. They're being played to. They cling to their Bibles and guns. If you remember that phrase,
That's exactly it, man. Yeah. When I'm in them little towns, it ain't the Confederate flags that I keep my eye on. It's the American one. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
when I see one of them towns, they all flying the American flag.
Yeah.
That's when I get nervous. I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea is America first. And what America first is symbolic of Caucasians, dominance, and ruling. That's what America first is. It's not the idea that has been perpetuated over these many decades and centuries of this idealistic America of freedom and for everyone and treating people with equality. Oh, that's bull. America first means white folks dominating, in control, you know, and subjugating any and everybody that they want to, you know, and they do this globally. They do it globally. So
that dude right there is He's one of some, but
right.
a few and far between. And that's why I don't, I listen to certain things and I don't call nobody out their name. Like some of us, we like to use different names for different
right.
races. With me, I said I graduated from kindergarten a long time ago. That's just me, brother.
Yeah,
okay. I don't call people names no more
yeah.
because I don't like it when I see our people
right.
called names.
Exactly.
So
I
if
agree.
I don't like that,
yeah.
why should I do the same behavior?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then
you have an advocate, somebody like him, that's making people aware, you might turn him on.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. We as a people, man, I mean, we are, I heard one brother this morning on this local radio station up here. And he said, like, he ain't oppressed. And he ain't going to teach his children that they oppressed. and I done seen this man smoke marijuana and drink fifths right on Facebook Live, but he ain't oppressed. I guess he ain't.
I guess he ain't. That's right. He got his.
yeah. I wouldn't be oppressed either
yeah,
if I had
I'm,
that.
I'm feeling good right about now.
So no, man. I'm listening to the program, and plus I done informed about 30 other people. To start listening to Time for Awakening. I want everybody, because it is time for us to wake
yeah.
up, man.
Yeah.
And I am a person. I am a person that says this. Responsibility first. If we ain't responsible, then how can we point the finger at anybody? Responsibility first, man.
Yeah.
So we got a forum like this. We need to, like, pay attention to it and just stick to our guns. So it's some new people listening.
Right on.
And
I appreciate
they listened last night. So I'm just trying to bring.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to wake up some masses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was a good, that was a good program last night with Professor Smalls.
Yes, sir.
You know.
So I'm going to continue. But I'm going to hang up. I'm going to continue listening.
All right,
your
brother.
I'll probably have a few more callers, man. Just want to let you know I'm listening, brother.
Right on.
All
right on, brother. Peace to you. Thank you.
Peace,
thank
bro.
You. Yeah. I always thank Brother Ralph. I'm on this forum because of him, and I appreciate him tremendously. Can't wait to physically meet him and Brother Elliot and Brother Richard and all the brothers and sisters in the Philly area. Was in D.C., like I said, this past weekend at the Firefighters Conference in the D.C., Baltimore area, Prince George's County and so forth, And I tell you, I love us. I love African people. In spite of us not wanting to really love ourselves and understand that. We live in America. America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. So as a consequence, even what I just played and what people just heard, some of us, it ain't gonna affect me. I don't care. That's them. Just like that one time I was in the store getting something. In fact, it was Target's. Just had to stop in there to get something, whatever it was. And the person ahead of me, young man, had a product, Dove. And Dove just came out with just got slammed because of a commercial that it did. In two of them, in fact, where you're brown skinned and natural hair and you lift up your sweater and so forth and take it off and then you're Caucasian. And you're Caucasian, just like that Japanese commercial where the brother, dark-skinned brother, is pushed down into the washing machine and he comes up looking white. And the message very clearly, just like I paid attention to this one commercial after seeing it a couple times, like, wow, this bartender throws this Heineken, or whether either was Heineken or what's the other Mexican beer that people like to drink all the time? He slides it by three American African people into the hands of this Caucasian, talking about it's better sometimes to be light. We just don't understand the insidiousness, the nefarious dealings of the people we're dealing with. We don't understand. And when you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And we have been suffering and will continue to suffer.
until we wake up. Until we wake up. Until finally we can throw off, as I say, we can step outside of the imposed boundaries that these Caucasians have placed upon us and look at them for who and what they are, and not that we will try to change them. Because it's about changing ourselves. Because there's nothing we can do to change them. They believe that they are superior. They are in control of the narrative globally. There's nothing we can do or say. There is no amount of evidence when you suffer from cognitive dissonance that can prove that what you're saying is false. Because they don't care. They ignore it. They dismiss it. They are psychopaths, and they have a psychopathic personality when it comes to dealing with us. And they don't give a damn, and they don't care what happens. They are unsympathetic. There is nothing that we can do to make these people respect our humanity, to make these people. Nothing we can do. They have a vice grip on our minds. If you understand the tool, there's nothing you can do to pull the vice grip apart once it is set. The strongest in the world can't do it. You have to turn the knob at the end of the handle. The turning of that knob is symbolic of inquiring knowledge of self, of consciousness. And consciousness is more than just an awareness or understanding. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, who you are historically, and why we must work together to reclaim and recapture and restore the history of our people. Last night, Baba, Professor Small said, the main thing we must understand is our history. Reclaiming and recapturing, restoring our history. We have to come to some understanding about who we are. We have to have, as we approach 2019, having been here 400 years, 1619 to 2019, 400 years. We must, as a, whatever the people might be, whether they're educated, non-religious, non-political, non-African people, with a deeper sense of what has happened to us, analyzing it and saying, no, we've traveled down this damn road far too long. We've been begging. We have been pleading, we have been marching, we have been demonstrating, we have been boycotting, we have been calling for voting. None of this stuff has changed our condition collectively as a people. And if that 20% of those of the Negroocracy who have privilege, along with the Caucasians, speak, oh, hell no. Because they don't give a damn about the other 80%. Of our people, because they love their position in Caucasian's reality. That's why I love Dr. Wade Noble's definition of power. Power is not money. In fact, the way they're going, the money that is controlled, that is in control by Europeans, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Rockefellers, and so forth, and the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, the money that is controlled by them will be a different type of money in the future. It won't be the paper money. In fact, a lot of millennials don't carry around paper money. All their stuff is cards. How they transfer money, how they pay their bills. Of course, you know I don't do that. Because I'm old school, you know. But that's what's happening. So, no, It is not. Power is not about money. Because if there was real power in the money, then why don't you get the money and put your face on it? And let me say this. I'm going to be forcefully saying this, particularly as it approaches. I do not want Harriet Tubman on any damn or any African person on any of this currency. It's like tax. It's like symbolism without substance. I don't want to see a face of any African person on the currency of this country. That's a damn shame. I know she would be rolling over in her grave. And not only that, on that 20, who's on the 20, y'all? Andrew Jackson. And they're saying he'll still be on the back of the 20. What a damn farce. The most adamantly racist president this country's had. They all are. But he was most overt and mean-spirited. The Trail of Tears and all the other stuff he's done. To hell with Andrew Jackson. And yet you're going to put Harriet Tubman, a freedom fighter, a real freedom fighter, on a $20 bill. No, put some cracker on a $20 bill. Put some cracker, some white woman on a $20 bill. No. I'm so adamant against it. I'm telling you. You might think I'm be a fool. I'm a one man picket on one mint, wherever they minting the money at, wherever they making the dollars at. God, I hate this stuff. Man, I hate this sugar honey iced tea, y'all. Believe me, I do. I hate this sugar honey iced tea. And you had a lot of people hailing that. I remember I had a discussion with a sister in a restaurant. When it was first being proposed, she was all hyped about it. And of course, we respectfully agree to disagree. She will be rolling over in her grave. She will be rolling over in her grave to know that this is full of symbolism, because there is no substance. So no, money is not power. Politics? Oh, hell no. We have more elected officials than we've ever had. Ever had. And yet our condition is worse. Mass incarceration, particularly from, and in the highest office. And yet our condition worsened. Everybody was like, well, first let him get in, you know, and then we'll reelect him again. And then in a second, he'll do a lot of good things for us. Let me just say this. Barack, your ass didn't pardon Jack Johnson, and Trump is going to pardon Jack Johnson. I love the pardon of Jack Johnson. I would hope that Jack Johnson would be pardoned considering what he went through. I would hope there's a number of other folks who would be pardoned. But you didn't do it, Barack. On your way out. Because the reality is, it wasn't like I'm going to be fearless on my way out and I'm going to. No. Because you, they boy. Politics, no. No power, which is obvious. Backdoor dealing, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Our condition worsens. Education and information, don't make me laugh. Education and information. If the education information is flawed and inaccurate, and it has been and will continue to be, no, you cannot get power from that. Power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Caucasians woke up out of that ice, woke up out of that slumber they were in that so-called medieval age, that dark age, kicking the Moors out of Spain, kicking the Sephardic Jews out of Spain. And Charlemagne and all them others, and they began to feel themselves, and they began to go out and venture out. Marco Polo goes to China, comes back with pasta, which everybody thinks is Italian, but it's Chinese. Like everybody thinks rice is Chinese, but it's African. But he comes back with gunpowder. And Europeans fashioned weaponry. And that's one thing you must understand, brothers and sisters. That's one thing you must understand. that Caucasians have always, Europeans have always found a better way to kill your ass. I saw one on Facebook from the Inquisition time with a cross on it, the Christian cross. It was a thing where you put your hands in it and it flattens your hands. It kind of crushes your hands. Just like all the other ones, the stretching thing, the one with the bars, oh man, the pit and the pendulum, all of this. Crossbow, catapults, boiling oil. Now they got guns. Now they got guns that can shoot 1,000 rounds in a minute. A handgun. Probably seen it on Facebook. No, power is the ability to define reality. They defined the reality. They went around the world when they came out of that dark age in medieval. They said, this is the reality. This is the religion. Everything was fashioned in their image and their interest, and they imposed it on the world. And they said, this is it. And if you didn't succumb to it, if you didn't acquiesce to it, they killed you. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They defined reality and imposed it on others. And so what we must do is define reality and shape and fashion in our image and in our interest. Not that we're going to pose it on anybody, because I don't like the second half of that. I like defining reality in your image and in your interest. I love that, because that's what you should do. Everybody's reality should reflect themselves, but not that you impose it on others and not that you fight others about it. But we will have to, because we're dealing with a psychopath. We're dealing with an evil. Man, I'm going to tell you, I got to chill out, because I'm about to cuss. Because this sugar honey iced tea is just, you know, some days, dear brothers and sisters, it's that way. On Wednesday, me and Brother Franklin Jones will discuss this and other issues. Please join us Wednesday. We're going to talk about what is affecting the African mind and the threat on us and all the other things that are happening to us. This program is about the liberation of our people, the self-determination, the sovereignty of our people. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, there is no other discussion. And that's what you hear on Time for an Awakening. All the others talk about what we can do for ourselves. How can we release this vice grip that these crackers have on our minds? Even though they suffer from cognitive dissonance and Caucasian fragility, they don't want to believe all the evil they have done. They would like to think that they've made this world the beautiful, better place it is. And what's evil are all these Muslims. And what's evil are all these other groups. They're good. No, you son of a, you are the ones. You are the ones that come into people's country and take resources and kill the leadership. You are the ones that overthrow governments. You are the ones that destroy Africa. You. So, brothers and sisters, I appreciate you listening. Like I said, it just seemed like one of those days where my emotions are such that, because I love us so, and I hate to see what's happening to us. I played a Caucasian. But even as Brother Ralph mentioned, there are some Caucasians that are good people. I've worked with some folks on the fire department. I will say this. I don't believe that they would end the supremacy and the privilege that they have. But at least they would try to be somewhat honest. Stephen Biko, we end this program like we always end every program here on African Perspectives with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but also the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all the resources that everybody wants and can't do it out and don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, see you on Wednesday. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, go in peace. Isaite Sana, thank you.